Okay, we are here. Michelle Visage, what are you doing up in here, girl?
Oh, I don't know. I just figured I'd come and sit in on a podcast.
Well, that is that lipstick that I love so much. Who is it? What is
it's
it?
It's MAC Lady Danger.
Is it Lady Danger again?
I told you.
I know it. I asked. You're doing something different.
You want me to tell you what I do?
What is it?
Yeah. I don't do, because it's very orange and I'm very pale and yellow.
I love the orange.
So what I do to just take down the orange a little is I line it in MAC Cherry. So it brings a little blue red.
I see.
And it bleeds over the orange.
That's
so
what
you
it
still
is.
Get the brightness of Lady Danger.
I ask you that every time, don't
every
I?
Every time, because
every
that's my key
time.
To mix the cherry with the Lady Danger.
I see.
Instead of doing the orange liner with the orange lipstick.
Okay. So I'm going to get into our guest right now. We have a very special guest right now. You know, I've always been in love with songwriters.
Yes.
I always have. You know, I saw the Carole King musical.
Beautiful.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous because of all those great songs. And today we have a songwriter here who is on top of the world right now.
He is, and he's adorable.
And we're gonna ask all about the plastic surgery you've had.
Dude, that perfect nose.
Yes.
How does one achieve?
Justin Chanta is here.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
Now, we first met each other through Diane Warren.
We did.
Another brilliant songwriter.
And you were on, I think you were in the studio at the time with Tricky Stewart.
Yes.
And you were with the band Semi-Precious Metals.
Weapons.
Yes. And now you are the top songwriter in the MF game right now. tell me about how did that happen? How did you go from Semi-Precious Weapons to the top bitch in the business?
Well, first, I don't know if I'm the top bitch, but I appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
But I'll take the title.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just for momentarily, at least. No, so what happened was, is the band was on our third record deal at the time, signed to Epic Records.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't release a song, let alone the whole album we had made. And so we're just writing and writing and writing for ourselves. And a couple of the songs, Tricky Stewart was like, oh, can I play this for Rihanna? Can I play this for blah, blah, blah? Nothing ever came of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it started that sort of like those gears turning and be like, oh, maybe while we're like stuck in record label hell, I could do something. So then luckily, the band had a publishing deal with Warner Chappell as like a band, you know, as an artist writer. So it's like a different kind of deal as a deal where you're writing for other people. But I went, the guy that signed us is this fabulous homo, Blue Hamilton, who's married to Matt Dallas, Kyle XY.
His name is Blue.
His name is Blue.
Yeah.
He signed us. He left Warner Chappell. And the woman that got brought in to take over his position, I met with her and immediately it was magic. And she was like, well, yeah, I have friends over at Epic, and it's looking bad. Like, it's never going to happen.
For your band.
For my band.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to go into sessions for other people? Like, I can put you to work if you want to. So she put me to work, and it was the first executive / business person in my life that actually fucking did something. You know, you all know. We're all artists. Like, so many times, managers and labels and publicists, all these people, they actually don't do anything.
Right.
And you're like,
collect your money.
Collect your fucking money.
Yeah.
You know, and like, when we were on the Gaga tour, we were losing so much money and all of our management, everyone's making.
Because you opened up for Gaga.
For a year and a half, the band did. And so we're losing all this money because everyone's taking their percentages of our gross income.
Uh-huh.
We're fucking making no money.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, but this is my, I got on this tour.
Yeah.
Like, so anyway, so she was the first person that really ever did anything for me. And that just changed everything.
Who is she?
Her name is Katie Vinton. And it's kind of amazing because over the last 3 years, our careers have grown together. Like, our success
Where
together.
Where is she now?
She's at Warner Chappell still. She's here. She's about to have a baby.
Does she know who the father is?
She does. She's a good girl,
it's
unlike
Justin.
The rest of us. She's a very good girl, married and all that shit.
So that's how she brought you over there.
Yeah.
And what was the first big record you had after you went over there?
Well, so the first
as a solo, because you were signed as the band, but then she took you over there as a solo.
As a writer.
I see.
So what happened was about 3 months into trying to write for other people, I wrote a song with just other writers and producers. There was no artist there. And Kelly
Did they
Clarkson.
Put you with other session people?
Yeah. So
okay.
Every single day, you know, especially when you first start, you know, I was just whatever you want. Like, I'll do double sessions. I don't give a fuck. Like, I am not. I worked in retail for a long time. I loved it, but I was like, I'm not going back.
Uh-huh.
So, like, after touring the whole fucking world, I'm not going back. Like, So whatever, whatever. So I did anything I could. And the first thing, about 3 months into it, I was writing, you know, wrote a song with these now guys who become friends of mine. But the first time I met them, and we wrote a song, and Kelly Clarkson like wanted it like 3 days later and cut it like a month later.
What song was it?
It's called Nostalgic.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't a hit, but it was on her album.
Which album?
The one that came out, the last one, the Piece by Piece.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, so that was, so, okay, 3 months into this and like a big artist has already cut a song, like maybe this is what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still doing the band and writing a little bit. And then eventually, just between the craziness of our team that the band had, that not our band, the band members were all still very close, mm-hmm. but there was just some weirdness in the team and the songwriting going so well, I was like, I have to focus on what's working.
Mm-hmm.
So the first, and it was crazy because then the minute I quit the band, and which wasn't even about the band, it was about the people that were working for us. Like, mm-hmm. the minute I cut that out, the mm-hmm. next day, Fall Out Boy announced that their single was going to be Centuries, which was, I wrote the chorus up.
Wow.
And so that was, like, my first big cut, and that was top 10, and Fall Out Boy's second biggest song of their entire career.
Wow.
And so that, all of a sudden, I was like, okay, I definitely made the right choice. And so then from there, it was just off to the fucking races.
You know, the thing about cutting up the royalties for a song, that is so confusing. Who tells you how that's divided?
Yeah.
Because it's a tricky, it's like witchcraft.
It can be fucking tricky.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously writing is one thing and publishing is a different thing.
And artists, artists.
And then there's the mechanicals of the uh-huh. actual record itself,
yeah.
okay? Those are the three big things. Am yeah. I right?
Yeah. So so every single song, when a song, let's just say call it a dollar because it's easier for math.
Okay.
If there's a dollar for a song, half of it goes towards the publishing, half of it goes towards the recording, the label.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's half eventually because a lot of it goes to the label. So the label has to pay the publishing companies to pay the writers. I mean, it's really fucking
tricky.
Who
pays the artist?
The artist has it. The label pays the artist. Okay. So the artist has it in their deal as to how much, if they have 14 points in their deal. Mm-hmm. It's normally between like 10 points and 16 points, which means basically percentages.
Mm-hmm.
So if a song sells, if you're a superstar, you probably have 16 points, if not more. And so if a song's for a dollar, you just made 16 cents.
I see. So, okay. So.
This just, you know what this drives home?
What?
How bad I got fucked.
With your record deal with,
yeah.
with the seduction
the
thing? Or
the seduction. We had 1 point to split between three girls.
What? You had 1 point?
We had one of the worst contracts
but
in history.
But that's normal, though, back then for like, that was the TLC Toni Braxton
yeah.
storyline,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
And then, but even doing Back on the Soul System thing, I got seven.
Seven for It's Gonna Be a Lovely Day.
Correct.
On a song that was already written, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother thing.
Now, so mine had to come to 7/17 because I had to split with all them.
Hold up.
Bill Withers, that whole camp.
Yeah.
You had to split with them? Wait, I don't
yes,
see it's
that's
math.
What I'm saying.
It's
crazy.
I don't like it.
It's very, so the good news is like if you, now when you like, so for Centuries, the Fall Out Boy song, there yeah. was the sample to deal with, the Suzanne Vega sample.
Uh-huh.
Then me and my friend Raja, we wrote the chorus and the post-chorus.
Not our Raja.
No, uh-huh. Raja Kumari, uh-huh. amazing Indian singer-songwriter. And then the band all, they wrote the verses
yeah.
and they had, so they all, it was like, that was the biggest shit show I've been a part of.
Because everybody had their hands in the pot.
Yeah. And then like for Selena Gomez, Good For You, everything was fine. It was just three writers
yeah.
to start, me and my main co-writer, Julia Michaels, and the producer, Nick Monson. Well, then they needed a radio version. So they brought in another producer, which the radio version became the main version.
But why does the producer get writing on that then?
Because so for this, now what happens a lot of times too is like the way the new pop system is set up. Well, it's... Producers started to get publishing in like when hip hop started to happen.
Okay.
Because they would make these beats that
yes.
were like there, you know, in rap, which I'm a huge fan of, there is no melody. So
yeah.
the beat and the words are pretty much all you're dealing with. There's
right.
no melody anymore. So like these guys who are making the beat were like, I need right. fucking publishing. This
yeah,
is my
producers.
Song. Like
yeah,
there's
yeah.
there's no music here unless
sure.
there's me. There's only your words and you'd be and to snaps
sure.
or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when it started happening and things started changing. So producers are now in the writing session
okay.
for the most part. Unless in country, it's still just like two or three songwriters
sure.
in a room. Then you bring a producer in to finish the record, blah, blah, blah. So
right.
So yeah, good for you was that. But then we brought in A$AP Rocky, and A$AP Rocky had someone change the beat under his verse, and so that one got really messy too.
Oh my goodness!
But also, you're just trying to be respectful. You want everyone to feel like excited
like
about it.
They're taking care of.
So it got really messy. But normally, it can be pretty fucking easy where it's just like, you know, whoever's in the room, you just split everything equally. Whoever was in the room for when the song was written is equal.
Right. Now, when you're put into a group of people, when you're thrown into a writing camp, what do they call them? Writing workshops or?
Yeah, well, there's camps is the common term, but that's like normally like some label is going to like get as many writers and producers as they can to like focus on like 2 weeks for Rihanna or for Kelly Clarkson or for whatever. But a lot of it too is just like, your publisher or your manager, I don't have a manager anymore, but like someone putting you in sessions that they think that you would gel well with everybody in there. And then once, of course, you start having success and people start asking for you and you kind of pick and choose to what you think would be
so
right.
Like play dates. With a piano? So like play dates.
Play dates.
Yeah.
Do you sit there with a piano when you're writing, you're still plunking it out?
Yeah, sometimes you're playing the piano or sometimes like the producer is like building the track while it's happening.
Ah, got
which
it.
Also can be very helpful to set the tone of the vibe. Like if, like, you know, we probably could have written Good For You on just the piano, but like he had like the really sexy synth chords and like the dark 808s and the snaps, which really gets you in the mood. So also it really does help having the producer writer in the room because like after like an hour, like you kind of know what the fucking song is.
Sure.
Of course they're going to work on the details for a while.
Yeah.
But like you're like, okay, this is the song. So you can even be like, you know, I work a lot with Interscope and I can be in the Interscope studios where you came.
Yeah.
And their offices are across the street. Like, a couple hours into the session, you can call the A&R executive over and be like, yo, come listen to it. And like, he'll know what the song is. So it's kind of, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
But do the A&R people, I have so many questions for you. Do the A&R people do they know anything?
Well, some of them do. I mean, that's a very good question because some of them don't know fucking
shit. That's the age old question, baby.
Yeah.
They don't know shit. But then they're the ones that I choose to spend most of my time with now. The one, you know, now that I do have some success, I can pick and choose where I want to spend my energy.
But can you explain what A&R is for people who don't know?
Sure. So what it technically means is artists and repertoire. So what that is they're an executive at the label who are assigned to the artist or they find the artist.
They used to go out and find the talent.
Yeah, and they still will now, but you know, a lot of it just with the fucking internet, you can find so many amazing things by just fucking getting on Hype Machine or SoundCloud or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the A&R will sign the talent, find the talent, and then they'll be in charge of if the artist doesn't write their own songs, mm-hmm. be in charge of finding them songs mm-hmm. and listening to the artist's vision and being like, okay, you want to do, and like, you know, like Selena Gomez is a great example. Selena knew who the fuck she was and mm-hmm. what she wanted to sound like. Mm-hmm. And so her and Aaron Bayshuk would have the conversations about
her A&R person?
Yep, about what it would be. And then he would go look for the songs. And then when it was time for her, when she wanted to get involved in the writing process, he would find the right sessions for her. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, you know, it's like an interesting job. It's like it's a executive job to help the artist execute their vision.
Right. I wonder whatever happens to all the A&R people who have been in this business for years. Where do they go? Where do farts go?
Well,
let's start with that one.
They just go out into the ether sphere. But A&R people, I know plenty of them that are no longer doing that. A lot of them end up working as promoters,
Life.
Or they, right?
trainers.
Right. Yeah. So they end up they all get let go because, like you said, Justin, A&R doesn't really, in the way we knew it growing up, it doesn't exist in that format anymore
right.
because it's so easy to find artists. They don't need to go out to a band and go to a showcase anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's kind of further along after somebody's already established, and A&R is different. But so all the ones that we knew growing up, everyone that I knew that was involved when I was around, they're all not even involved in the business anymore.
Yeah.
They've all done something.
They go like to consulting jobs.
Yes. Yep.
Consulting jobs. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, there are ones like Wendy Goldstein's another really amazing
right.
one at Republic.
Yeah, she's
she's just like, you can tell like there's a, and she's always so humble. Like, well, no, I'm in my up moment right now. Mm-hmm. I've had ups before. I'll have downs. I'll have, you know, she's
very
really,
smart.
She's really amazing. But mm-hmm. you see, when it comes to like in these last couple of years, she's had Ariana, she's had The Weeknd, she's mm-hmm. had so much. Like, you're like,
wow,
this woman knows what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah, there's some people who intuitively know what music is and they know their history too. Now, which is another part of this, is how do you know you're not ripping someone off?
I mean, you'd never really know.
Yeah.
I mean,
some people do.
Well, some people for sure know when they're ripping somebody off. But like, I mean, of course it can happen on accident.
Yeah. Sure. Because sometimes I'll hear a song and I go, oh, you know what? I know exactly what that is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know that Madonna song, One Last Chance. It was off of the Something to Remember compilation.
Yeah, what are you?
She did it with David Foster. It was you'll see and One Last Chance. And let me see if I can remember them. But I heard them. She does a little section of it that is from the Stylistics. It's not Betsy My Golly Wild. I think it's something. You're the star. Frankly, it'll come to me.
But a lot of times, even songwriters will do that unintentionally, and sure. The song is just stuck in their head.
Right.
But
yeah.
You don't do it intentionally.
Sure, no. That you know, Mariah Carey is the queen of being sued for that stuff.
Right.
In fact, that song she did with Diane Warren called "Another Night." Anyway, it's a ripoff. It's an interpretation
yes.
of "Fly Me to the Moon."
Oh, really?
Wow.
Really?
After Tonight, the uh-huh. song After Tonight, which is, I think, on the Rainbow album,
uh-huh.
it has the same melodic chord progression as
da, 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 da.
Fly Me to the Moon and dun, dun, dun. I'm in the wrong key. anyway, it's that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing. How do you know? Because where did you grow up listening to Justin Tranter?
Justin Tranter, was like, of course, very young. Just like whatever was popular. So, yeah, I was born in 1980.
From Chicago.
So, yeah.
In 1980. Right.
So, like, huge Cyndi Lauper fan. Uh-huh. Debbie Gibson. I was Team Debbie. Now, I live for Tiffany, but like secretly. Because so you had to pick one.
So, you're Electric Youth, is what you
oh,
are.
Oh, my God. Electric yeah. Youth. Yeah. Well, I actually stole the Electric Youth perfume from Walgreens because I was, even though my parents were so supportive of my femininity, like, so supportive uh-huh. always, they never flinched.
Yeah.
I was still, you still get shame, you still have embarrassment.
Sure.
And so I was like, I don't know if I can ask my mom to buy this, so I'm just going to steal this
yes.
because I need it.
Right,
because
I could, I'd rather bear juvenile hall
yes.
than to ask my mother
to buy Electric
Youth.
I yeah. tell that story now and she
it
gets
it's a great
so,
bottle too.
It was a great bottle.
Yeah, and she I still gets, have it actually.
Stop
I
it.
I like the way it smells.
She gave it to me actually. Are you friends yeah. with her?
No, I've never met her.
You've never met Debbie
no.
Gibson? Wow.
No.
Oh, wow. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break real quick, but we've got Justin Tranter here, the top bitch in the songwriting game in this town. I have so many questions. I hope I don't talk too fast. I'm talking too fast right
slow
now.
Slow it down. Slow it
okay,
down.
I'm just going to breathe. I'm going to take this little break and breathe. Okay. We'll be right back. Hey, you know, therapy should be affordable, confidential, and convenient.
Yes.
That is exactly what Talkspace is. Now, only with Talkspace do you get unlimited messaging to your dedicated, licensed therapist for just $32 a week.
Keyword, licensed.
Yes, yes. And now you can even schedule a live video session ooh. With your therapist right from your smartphone. It's just as easy as that.
Yeah.
Now, kids, you can get $30 off your first month by just going to Talkspace.com and put in that offer code RU.
Yeah, and you can also check out the app. It's in your phone. It's in your store. You know how to get it. And like you said, don't forget, use the coupon code RU. It's Talkspace.
We are back with Justin Tranter. I have so many questions. I love songwriters. I was that kid who would read all the liner
me
notes
too.
On
me too.
Songs. I knew everybody's yep. name. I knew, and I wanted to know their name because someone who could pull a melody and a beautiful lyric out of the ether, I think I just fall in love with
it.
Yeah.
It is like magic. It's so crazy all the time. Like, really experienced that magic when I just got to the privilege of working with Gwen Stefani on her whole last, on the whole new
wow.
album, the entire thing, which was mind-blowing because she's one of the reasons I started writing songs.
Yeah.
And it was her first time back writing in a long fucking time. Mm-hmm. And to like, you know, I'm in like the quote-unquote grind every fucking day, but to see her doing it again
uh-huh.
after a while and just this, like she was so grateful and so happy and she's a very religious, spiritual woman.
Uh-huh.
So she's just like thanking God through the whole process and you're like, wow, this is amazing.
Really?
It is.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like you're creating magic out of
and you're
thin
channeling,
fucking air.
You're channeling the source.
Yeah.
And that's what's so amazing to open that sort of blocked areas.
Yeah.
It is a great thing to happen
yeah.
to you.
It's a gift. I mean, it's like I feel so grateful for it. It's just like, I work a lot. I work at least 6 days a week, if not more.
Wow.
Wow.
Does your brain ever fry up?
No, because it's like, there's so much collaboration involved in the pop
yeah.
world now that
right.
like, you know, some days it's my main idea. So of course it's exhausting because you're leading the way creatively, but then other days it's someone else's main idea and you're just there to shape, inspire, tweak,
yeah.
throw in, you know, so it's every day's different. Or like, you know, when you come, when the artist is there and they fucking know exactly what they want to say,
great.
All you have to do is fucking help, you know? So it's a little easier on the brain, but everyone's like, well, you need to take time off. And I'm like, I'm making music and like drinking Chardonnay.
You're not laying a house.
I think I'm good. Like, I think it's, like, I work my ass off, but it's not hard. It's not draining. It's not hard. You know what I mean?
Do you
it's,
avoid listening to the radio so that you can you don't have to sort of into sort of seep into your other songs don't seep into your head and you?
No, I've started to avoid listening to the radio because
it sucks.
Well, well, half of it's mine, so be nice, man.
This is a former radio personality.
I'm just kidding. No, but getting obsessed with like looking at the radio charts to see where my songs were and like listening. My mom was here recently and like, I don't know how to drive, so I'm never in a car. I'm not going to tell the Uber driver to like to put on a station so I can maybe hear one of my songs like some asshole. Uh-huh. But my mom was here. She rented a car because she knows how to drive because she's a real human. Uh-huh. And it was really fun because it was kind of like also like, because a lot of it's just timing, right? Because you can have... It's timing for release schedules. And I got really lucky, like, the top of the year, like, in terms of singles that I had written, they kind of all, a bunch came out at one time. So it was really fun. My mom and I were driving around. It was like, it was almost laughable.
Wow.
But then, like...
Does it get you excited to still hear them on the radio?
Oh, my God. Every single time. Oh, it's so crazy. But then you get, like, obsessed with it. Because then all of a sudden, like... I haven't heard my song for 2 days. am I over? Is it all over for me?
Yeah.
And you like, and so I've stopped listening. You know, of course, it still come on randomly. I'll be in an Uber and they do have the pop station on, and you hear the song and you get so excited. Or the one Gwen song, "Make Me Like You," is just like, you know, hot AC gold, and a lot of Uber drivers listen to hot AC. Uh-huh. So like that one, I've heard.
Is that safe?
Yeah, it's safe for their customers. Yeah, so I hear it so much, that one, and it's like, oh, that's cool, because on pop radio they never played that record. So. Yeah.
You know, cool. I know you know Diane Warren very well. I've known her for well over 20 years.
Wow.
She, you know, one of the most successful songwriters in the history of songs being sung and recorded.
Yeah.
But whenever I'm out with her, she is still hustling those songs.
Oh, my God.
She is a hustler.
The ultimate. It is crazy.
Now she hustles real hard. I mean, she will go up to someone, she'll see a star who has recorded her songs before and go over and say, "Hey, I got a song for you."
At a party. And like they're like, "I'm trying to eat this like weird, you know, shrimp cocktail." Like,
yeah. Like, now, is that required?
I like that. I like that she's always Joan Rivers had that same work ethic where they don't ever want to stop because I feel like, and I think Howard Stern's the same way.
Yeah.
I feel like they're so great and they're so at the top of the game and they've been there for so long that if they think that if they stop, they're going to die.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's where that comes from. And I understand that some people could be like, "Bitch, I'm trying to eat my shrimp. What are you doing?" But on the other hand, I know what she's doing. It kind of comes from a place of fear, but at the same time, it's a place of power of you're not knocking me down.
Right.
I'm staying up here.
No, it is amazing. I think it just, everyone does it differently. You know, like I prefer to just, you know, there's certain parties that you do have to go to because you never know who you could run into or blah, blah, blah. I prefer to just like, because my thing, especially when I'm working with the artist directly, because Diane doesn't collaborate with artists.
Right.
And I love to because after 10 years of being in my band, singing, saying, wearing, doing exactly what I wanted, I'm finding so much inspiration from like, what do you want to do? And let me help you. And that's really fun for me. So for me, it's like, if you see another writer that you love or another producer you love or an artist you love, it's more about just like making that connection and making everyone feel good about themselves and feel confident. So that can help at a party, but I'm definitely not hustling songs at a party.
So but when you are at a party and you see someone that you've admired, like you see Cyndi Lauper over in the corner, what do you do? Have you met her?
Well, she asked me to sing at her Christmas charity show last year.
Yeah.
So and I had met her once before, and I think it was an amazing story because she was a fan of the band.
Yes.
And so she had come to one or two band shows and met her briefly. And so when I showed up to sing, and I was going to sing with her, which for me was like, I mean, in the best way, horrifying. Not only is she an idol, but she's a fucking vocalist.
Yeah.
That thing is no joke.
Yeah.
And so I walk into the rehearsal, and she doesn't recognize me because I look like a lesbian now. She has no idea.
A very beautiful lesbian. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I think lesbians are very chic, so I'm happy with my current look. But so she's like looking at me and she's like just blank faced. And then I was going to sing a mashup of Sorry and the Gwen Stefani song. So Justin Bieber, Sorry, and Gwen Stefani's Used to Love You.
Yeah.
And she's like watching me rehearse, still hasn't made the connection of who I am. And, you know, because I'm sure some of the people on the bill, like, you know, the people that work for her have put on the bill to raise money and awareness sure. and sell tickets. And she might not know who they are.
Yeah.
So she's looking at me and I knew it. I was like, this bitch has no fucking clue why I'm here. And then she doesn't know. Sorry. She's never heard Justin Bieber. Sorry. At that point, it had only been out for a couple weeks, in fairness. Uh-huh. But then when it got to the part where we were going into the Gwen Stefani song, I guess she had just seen Gwen perform that on The Voice or something uh-huh. and stops it. And she's like, that's the Gwen Stefani song. Why are you singing that? And I was like, I wrote it with Gwen. And the first one's a Justin Bieber song. That's like number one on Hot 100 right now.
Uh-huh.
Like,
uh-huh.
And she's like, okay. I don't think she just still wasn't connecting. And then finally, I see her manager like pull her aside, Lisa, yeah. who's fucking fabulous.
Uh-huh.
And I can see her like explain. And Cindy comes over and she's like, oh my God, I didn't realize who you were. I'm so proud of your success. I've been following this whole thing. It's
she's
amazing.
So cute. Oh.
But yeah, but then when I was actually singing with her, because then we sang all through the night together.
Oh, wow.
Which is one of my favorite songs of all time. Yeah. I definitely like cried on stage yeah. like yeah. a loser. Like
fully cried.
No,
there's not a loser. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Because you were in the moment.
Yeah. And it was my mom's like, I can see my mom on the side of the stage just like freaking out. I mean, it was such a great song, too.
That
yeah.
is just amazing. Yeah. You talk about your mom. When you came in, the first thing I want to talk about was your nose. I asked you if that was your real nose.
And I was sitting here trying to clock it.
Yeah. And is it your real nose?
It is. I swear on my mother's life, it's a
yeah,
real nose.
Because it is. I'm a nose connoisseur.
Yes.
I love gorgeous noses.
This is perfection.
It is a perfection. Yeah. Now, where's the nose come from?
So my mom and dad both have, my mom is Irish and German, but still got a pretty tiny nose. And my yeah. dad is Scandinavian.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, that's always angular, small features up there with those creepy white people.
It's Scandinavian.
It's Scandinavian.
Yeah. And so that's, yeah. Actually, Kate Moss asked me the same question when I first met her.
Asked if that's your real nose.
Yeah, and she was like, I don't fucking believe you.
Yeah.
And show me pictures of your mom. I don't believe it. Show me pictures of your dad.
Yeah.
And then she calmed down. But right. she was like, no, who did this?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now,
thank
the name
you,
Tranter, that's not the easiest name to say.
No.
It's a weird name.
It's a weird name.
Yeah.
Because you want to say, what do you want to say?
Maybe Tanter or...
Tanter.
It's the
trainer. I get a lot of trainer.
Tainter.
Tainter. Of course. Pierce.
Taint-haw. That would be really good.
Taint-haw.
Taint-haw.
Yeah, and people always spell it with an O-R, like T-R-A-N,
right.
like T-O-R.
Like a trainer.
Yeah.
Trainer.
Yes, that's what you want to say. You want to say Justin Trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Tranter, what is that?
I guess I've looked it up. It's technically English, but we don't have any like English roots.
Have you ever seen that name anywhere else other than your family?
Only like on, you know, people on will find me online because even though I'm not famous, I just work for famous people. My name still comes up more than any other Tranter.
Yeah.
So I'll get like messages on Facebook, like how cool that you're writing these songs and we have the same last name, blah, blah. And the only other Justin Tranter is someone just because like it'll come up online if I'm like looking for some article or some interview I do, because interviews make me very nervous, like print interviews, because they can fuck it up. You know,
sure,
they can
change
it.
Yeah.
And so they will.
So I get very nervous now, especially because so much of it is about working with these other people, and I don't want to ever tell somebody else's story.
Right.
So I get very nervous. So I'll be like searching for shit, like a crazy person, like, oh my God, what do they do? But I always do interviews because I want queer kids to know that a queer person is writing these songs.
Good.
Because
right?
I love not being in the band anymore. I love not being like in front of it. It's so nice to be back. It's so much easier.
Because the focus is not on you. Is that why?
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, so much of it's such bullshit. Like doing you know, if you're going to promote a song, you
right.
know, you both know. Like you answer the same question 7,000 times.
Sure. Yeah.
Where did you get the name?
Yeah. Being a queer person, uh-huh. it's like there's so many weird questions that they ask because they basically want to say, so tell us about being fucking gay.
Yeah.
But they don't. So all this weirdness anyway, so I really like that. So I don't do interviews unless I can talk about being queer.
Sure.
So looking for stuff. There was like a Justin Tranter who got in a motorcycle accident. He's fine, everyone. He's fine.
Oh, good.
Thank God.
So that's the only other Justin Tranter I know of, because he got in an accident and it was in like his local
newspaper. Wow, that's crazy. And was everybody calling you going, oh my God, are you okay?
I mean, it was like in, you know, Nebraska. But like that's the only thing that's come up. So,
brings us to the obvious question, which is dream list of artists you'd love to write for.
I mean,
that interests me because you've written with so many.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks is a big one.
Wow, really?
And I got an email from her, from her management a couple weeks ago saying, because it's a question I get asked a lot.
Yeah.
And I always say Stevie Nicks. One, because it is a dream artist, and two, it avoids like any like politics of like current pop stars.
Very smart.
I can just say Stevie Nicks, but it is true. I really do worship her. So I got the email from her management, be like, we heard that you are a fan and want to work with her. She's not making music yet, but like she's really wants to work with you, hopefully in the fall or something. So that might happen, which would be crazy because I already got Courtney Love and I got Gwen. And if I get Stevie Nicks, for me, that's like
your trifecta. Yeah.
That's the trifecta. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, the interesting thing about going into a writing session with someone, it's like going to bed with them.
Yeah,
you don't know what the chemistry is going to be
right.
like.
No.
You know? And at what point, have you ever had a session where you both thought, it's not really working out.
I mean, I've had one sessions that started that way, but I do really pride myself in like trying to crack the code of the room.
You're talking to Chardonnay now?
Yeah. That's
where
how
the Chardonnay
crack the code.
You just get drunk and everyone's fine.
Hey! I like that song!
No, I really pride myself on like figuring out, do I need to run the session, or do I need to support the session, or do I need to blah blah blah, and to make everyone as comfortable as possible. I think that is a gift that a lot of queer people have been given, you know, from birth.
Oh yes,
born into that gift.
Oh yes.
I think also it's also our survival of like being
and the
able,
want to
shapeshifter,
please.
Being a shapeshifter,
the want to please, and the want shapeshifter, and learning how to survive in the situation and having your personality get through a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had a session where it just like went completely bad, which most, I think every other songwriter I know has at least one story, if not 10.
Yes.
Especially because in the new world of pop, there's just so much collaboration. Yeah. It's so much.
And so much attitude. It's different.
Oh my God, that's a whole nother
that's
thing.
That's different than now, it used to be.
Oh God, the egos, that's
yeah,
the
honey,
thing.
It's different. It's different. It's always been there in pop music and rock stars. It's always been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's on a different level now because of this kind of social world that we live in.
Yeah.
And seeing people and their reality shows and they're this or that. So everybody's got different egos way more than we ever had
to
deal with.
Also, the turnover is much faster now because of that. And I think people understand that, you know, they know that for job security, you know, they know that there's always someone else coming up in the ranks.
Always.
You know?
And it's you see the girls and the boys, I've obviously, you know, with the DNCE project with the Cake by the Ocean song, and I've been very close with writing with Joe Jonas. So, but Joe is the only like male star I've actually collaborated with. You
he's
know,
a sweetheart.
Oh my God, he's
too.
The sweetest thing on the planet. And he's so excited to make music and collaborate. And
like humble, oddly, you know, people made fun of them growing up with their fucking chastity rings or whatever they were. But
they,
I have to tell you.
Cock rings though, right?
Well, that's what they ended up being. But For somebody who had such success so young, so many people get really fucked over by that mentally.
Yeah, they're both the whole family.
The whole
is family's so grounded.
Pretty solid.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But so you know, like I was about to say the girls that I work with, even though there are a couple of boys, but like Bieber, we didn't work. You know, he contributed to the song after we did our thing. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Fall Out Boy, blah blah blah. But there's, you know, these.
What song with Bieber was it? Sorry.
Sorry. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you didn't sit in the room and work with him?
No, just me and Julia wrote to a track. That, thank God, because that song has changed my life.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Hello, Malibu Beach House. Hello, Malibu Barbie. So
but
that's all.
Yeah, so a lot of the girls, though, it's different, too, because I think back in the day, it was like you were either an artist who wrote or you weren't. And now, I think, which is cool, there's like a little bit of both. Like Selena is becoming a really strong writer, and she knows, she always has known since I met her, which was about a year and a half ago, she always knows what she wants to say. Mm-hmm. But now we're writing with her more and more, and like this bitch is killing it, and it's really cool to be a part of that process. But everyone has to leave their ego at the door in that moment. You know what I mean? Like she needs to be able to feel comfortable because she does have something to say.
She does.
Her life story this is not a normal experience that she's experiencing.
No.
And so like she should talk about it. You know what
I mean?
Well,
I'm going to talk about that. We're going to take a quick break, but I'm going to talk
about Barney.
A song about, but she on Barney and
she was on Barney.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Justin Tranter. Just, I'm so many questions for you. We'll be right back. You know, I got to tell you, you know, therapy throughout my life has helped me so much, helped me navigate all of the sort of tricky, sort of emotional landmines, you know. And I got to tell you, I think everyone should be in therapy. And now it's so easy to find a licensed therapist to help you navigate your life because of Talkspace.
I wish to God
when I was going through my teenage crap, yeah. all that stuff.
Yeah.
I wish this existed. You guys, it's so amazing. This is how it works. You go to Talkspace.com/Rue, or you can download their app. It's in your app store, no matter what kind of phone platform you have, it's there. Then you're going to speak with a Talkspace therapist representative, where you're going to share who you are, what you want out of therapy, all that stuff. And then you're going to pick a plan. Now, there's a few plans to choose from. I'm not going to go in details, but here's the example. First plan is $32 a week. It's unlimited messaging. It being checked by a therapist twice a day and a 10-minute live session. That's just your first month. And then there's a second plan, $43 a week. You get more. Third plan is $69 a week, and that includes unlimited messages and 30-minute live sessions every week. So there's a lot of, obviously, the more you pay, the more you get.
Yeah.
But what's great about it is they plan it and they tailor it for you. Yeah. They put you in touch with a therapist that best fits your needs and what you want to get out of therapy.
You're absolutely right. And you know, over 300,000 users wow. already know what it's like to belong to Talkspace. Yes. It is brilliant. Licensed therapists who have your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
This is a great, great plan. Now, for $30 off your first month, go to Talkspace.com/Rue and use that offer code RU, honey, because it will change your life.
Amen. Go get it, babies.
Now, we are talking to Justin Tranter, who is a songwriter who's written so many big hits right now. This is really your moment. How are you going to be able to stretch this moment? Are you just really nice?
I don't fucking know.
Because I would think, though, you know, taking a cue from Diane Warren, she had big supporters in, you know, in Arista.
Clive Davis.
Clive Davis. Yeah. And I think over at and what's his name? Not Ric Flair. That's WWE.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah. Who's the guy who did the Pussycat Dolls at RCA?
Ron Fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Big supporter. So she had those guys. Do you have those people equivalencies over at Interscope or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, the people I work closest with are Aaron Bashuk and John Janik at Interscope.
Say that a little slower. Who are they?
Aaron Bashuk and John Janik at Interscope.
See, now I understood you because we know how to speak fast.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Wendy Goldstein,
yes,
Charlie
who's
Walk.
A superstar.
Charlie yeah. Walk has oh been in the game.
Everything.
For 100 years.
Charlie Walk?
Charlie mm-hmm. Walk. Now, when we started on KTU.
Back when there were covered Walk wagons. Was, and yeah.
Correct. Uh-huh. I believe he had Mariah, didn't he?
I mean, he's done everything from marketing yeah. to running the label to everything. So he's
at Interscope.
He's at Republic. So Wendy uh-huh. and Charlie are at Republic,
and that's
so
Warner Brothers.
That's a Universal company as well.
Okay, right.
But then you know I have you know friends and people I work with at almost all labels at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like it's anything. You find the people you work well with, and you keep doing it, and then all of a sudden, well,
Republic
like,
is a label.
Republic is a label.
That's
Republic
how
Records.
Out of the game. Did you know Republic
yeah,
is a label?
Yeah, Republic has been a label for 30 years.
And they're the kings now. They're the right now they are the kings. They are Taylor Swift, they're The Weeknd, they're Ariana Grande.
Are you kidding
they're
me?
They're Lorde.
I'm so out of the game.
Is the top of the top. Like I think like for the last like 3 years, literally 30% of the radio, like a third of the radio
is them. But
the
funny is thing
them.
Is,
like,
listen,
it's crazy.
I lost track when all those mergers happened.
But then that's
going to
say
BGI.
What happened. It's because tough. For me, okay, I was on Arista. Yeah. Arista, now it's Sony BMG.
Right.
So for me, being on the radio, started in 96, was on it for 17 years. I don't know if I've ever heard of Republic once being on pop radio and yeah. urban radio.
Hmm.
And this is the first, like, I didn't even, never even heard of it.
Yeah.
I've been out of the game for a long time and I only listen to show tunes, but oh, that's only because I'm not on the radio.
Yeah.
But when I was on the radio for all those years, I don't remember ever any reps coming in from Republic.
Republic
so did they merge?
They were a rock,
they were
more
a rock,
rock
label.
Ah, which
label.
That explains
big rock
it.
Label.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in the last 5-ish years, they've like taken over pop music.
Thank you. 5 years right. gives me a window of justification. Okay. Thank you. That's how long I've been out of radio.
Yeah.
But how much of what you do and keep staying relevant and on the tip of people's tongues has to do with you going out and giving, you know, little handies,
yeah.
You know, literally and figuratively
yeah.
speaking.
Yeah, because you have to.
You have to give handies.
Yeah. yeah.
No, you. For me, it's just about, it's... One, I think I'm naturally a friendly person, so that does help.
Yeah.
But two, it's just the always being willing to be open to what's next and what does that label need? What does that artist need? What does it need? But, you know, honestly, the success is very new for me. It's like a year and a half. So mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen. But,
right.
And I keep telling my parents, like, because they're just so excited and they're
still together?
Yes. Uh-huh. And they're just so proud of me and they can't even believe it.
Are they still in the Chicago area?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll never leave. My mom wants to come out here, but my dad just loves Chicago and he teaches tennis and he's obsessed with it.
He loves the winters?
Apparently.
Oh,
how do you do the winters, though? How many winters? You left when you were 21?
18.
18?
Yeah.
The day you turned 18, you said, I'm going west, mama.
Well, I just went to college.
No, you went to college.
Uh-huh. So I went to music school in Boston. But then I was in Boston and New York until 2009. So I was in the cold. I had the winters until 2009. Yeah,
but it's not as cold in New York as it is in Boston or Chicago.
Boston's way colder.
Yeah.
And Chicago's fucking brutal.
It's brutal. It's painful.
It's the devil's dick. It is what the cold is in Chicago, in Boston.
Is, yes,
it's crazy. I just won't do it. No. I'm from San Diego. Okay, yeah. We just don't do that.
Mm-mm.
And you know, the first few years I moved to the east in Atlanta. We had some winters. Like, this is cute.
Yeah.
And
then
I moved up to New York, and this is cute. And
no,
I feel very,
it
you know, very,
yeah.
You know, for the first few years,
where you get fashion looks,
fashion
you bundle
looks,
up, honey.
Sure, yeah. You can do
your,
all. That.
Your coats and your sweaters,
your turbans,
yes.
You know, if you're so inclined,
your scarfatures,
yes. And giving serving looks.
Yeah,
but at one point, I think it's probably yes.
I'm sorry, that got me. Scarfatures.
We'll make up many words.
Yes, but but you hit a certain age. I'll say it, 40, and there's no looking back. You say, I can either go to Boca or I can go to Palm Springs.
Yeah. Well, I never thought I would live here ever, and we came here to just make an album, the one that never got released, the tricky
album.
And so it's just like we just kept writing, so we were supposed to be here for 3 months, turned into like a year.
Now, when I met you that time at Diane Warren's birthday party over at Casa Mexicali, or whatever that place was
called. The one on Ventura?
No, there's this place over
right
here.
Right here on Sunset.
Sunset,
right
Sunset Plaza.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like a block from here. I met you at a dinner party for Suzanne, not Suzanne Barsh, but
Diane Warren.
Diane Warren.
Very different, very different people.
I'm the Suzanne Barsh connection.
Yes.
Just the Diane Warren connection.
How long had you been here? You were working with Tricky Stewart
at
then.
At that point, maybe like a year.
So a year at that point.
That had been maybe 6 months to a year. So it was like, but then after I'm here, I'm like, wait, this is amazing. Like, the weather's so nice. And because it's, even though it's not cheap to live here, it's so much cheaper than New York.
Right. Yeah, well, you get more for that money.
The bandwidth, we were able
quality
to,
of life.
Yeah, we were able to survive. You know, if we were in New York after everything, our team started to kind of kill our band. We wouldn't have survived. And this whole new career would have never happened for me.
Right.
That's what blows my mind. Of like, if we didn't accidentally move to L.A., like,
that's so
these
crazy
songs
that
I'm writing would have never been written. Like,
yeah.
It's so nuts because it was only because I was here and this new woman came to Katie Fenton came to my publishing company.
Yeah.
If that would have never happened, if that one meeting would have never happened, like, none of these songs would exist.
That's the universe
working
its magic.
It's so crazy.
Well, so what's happened with the other band members?
Well, so I promised them that when I was like, I need to focus on the songwriting, and also too, they understood too, because there was a certain person on our team, on our business team, that was I'm a strong bitch, and I'm very comfortable and confident in who I am. But he was like starting because we had a half hit at alternative radio, rock radio, which is a very homophobic format.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to have your to have a person in your team say to you,
nice save,
thank you. To have a person on your team say to you, you're too gay, over and over.
Right.
And at this point, I'm like 32 years old. I'm 36 now. I'm like 32, or that was like 33 happening. And I was like, I'm too old to hear that. Like, this is just crushing me.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, but you had the balls to do something about
it. And so I was like, I can't do it, and I have to focus on what's working. And so I told my band members, like, I promise you, any opportunities that I get, if this thing really fucking works, if my songwriting career works, I promise you, I will do everything I can to help you. Because they followed me on they're all straight musicians. You know, we met at music school, and they followed me on this big queer journey of like, you know, I'm going to wear full makeup.
It's like Barney and Friends again, all over again. So you and Selena are so much in common.
Parallel lines.
It's just I'm Barney in this equation.
You're the big queer dinosaur.
So, and I did. So Cole, the bass player, I hooked him up with Joe Jonas, and he's now in DNCE, so right on. Traveling Aww. The whole world.
Yeah.
The guitar player and drummer, they have they did a bunch of dates with Gwen Stefani, so I got cool. that happen for them. They even got to play SNL with her, which
wow.
was always our dream. Me and the drummer always had this joke of like, if we get to SNL, we'll know that we made it.
Wow.
And so he got to, well, and Stevie, the guitar player, they got to play SNL playing songs that I co-wrote.
Oh.
So it was like, we got there. I'm Brought not on stage, but we got there.
I love
Isn't
that.
Isn't that cool? So, and then they're doing those two, because Cole now, the bass player, he's just, the DNCE thing's going so well for us all.
Yeah.
Luckily. That he is just gone full time. But so the other two are you know, here doing other gigs and stuff like that with me. But so we're doing a lot of music for, I can't say what it is yet, but yeah. for a big movie together.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's a huge
Barney the movie.
It's the animated movie, and their main music inspiration is like glam rock.
Oh, great.
Luckily, somebody called me in for the meeting and be like, oh, because of course they want a big pop writer name because they're spending so much money on that movie. They want to feel the confidence that this person can deliver. But in terms of the songwriting scene, I'm the only one with a glam rock history. So yeah. I luckily went in and was like, guys,
yeah.
no one else.
I got
Come
this.
On. Come
I
on.
Love
Just give
it.
Me the fucking job.
I
so,
love yeah. it.
So they're doing that with me. So like they're all, everyone's, we're all kicking ass together.
I'm so happy
you guys
about
have to talk
that.
About yeah. hands.
We're going to talk about hands, but mm-hmm. I want to quick touch on your songwriting partner. There was a big story in the LA Times a few months ago about you and her name is
Julia Michaels.
Julia Michaels.
Yeah.
How did you meet her?
So just met in a session. My main publisher, Katie Vinton, met with Julia's day-to-day manager at the time, because Julia has signed to a big management company, so there's a couple people that work on her stuff. And they just met, and Julia is very young. When I met her, she was 19. She's 22
wow!
now.
Wow!
But she... you know, was born and raised. Well, she's born in Iowa, but raised in LA. She's been here her whole life. Her mm-hmm. sister's an amazing singer as well. Her sister's a little bit older. So through that, she met people, and she was like in the full time, you know, homeschooled because of it, like full time writing
because of her
circuit.
Songwriting. Wow.
Since she was like 15.
Hmm.
So like, even though I met her at 19, I'd only been writing for other people or trying to write for other people for like 6 months, like in that world. She'd been in it. She's 19, and she'd been in it for like 4 or 5 years.
That's wow. so amazing.
So it was like, even though. I'm literally 14 years older than her. When it came to like the circuit, she like was way more. She knew everybody.
She was schooling you.
Uh-huh. She was like schooling me. Yeah. It was really a really interesting thing. So we just met in a random session. So she had people that she was pretty much only working with, and you know her manager was like, I think you know just change it up. You never know what'll happen. Like you know a couple days. And so luckily one of those days was us.
Yeah.
And she hated me at first because she gets very anxious. Mm-hmm. And she'll tell you that. I'm not talking trash. She has severe anxiety like issues, like diagnosed. So she's like, the new person was freaking out. And I was told that we were supposed to write for this girl group that Ron Fair, speaking of, was mm-hmm. doing when he was at Virgin. I can't remember what they're called, but it was a girl group. And I was like, all right, if we're going to write for a girl group, I want to go like En Vogue. I want to go like 90s fabulosity. I uh-huh. don't want to. And I think Nicole Scherzinger is actually an amazing
yes.
performer.
She's got a great voice.
Oh. I don't want to go like Spice Girls or Pussycat Dolls, even though I love that. I want to go like
right.
old school R&B, fabulous, say something, you know, free your mind, let's do something cool.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like playing En Vogue, and she's texting her manager like, because she's so young. She's like, why is, and I still was looking like a full-time rock star at the time. She's like, uh-huh. why is this man in full makeup and heels playing me En Vogue videos? Like, who is En Vogue?
You know oh man? My goodness.
Well, she's a baby.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she like was like, wanted to get out of the session, like, and her manager luckily said, stop being a bitch, stay in the fucking session. You uh-huh. never know what will happen. And so then I was like, well, we don't have to write for the girl group. Let's write just whatever you want, you know?
Yeah.
And we wrote this amazing song that then Rita Ora and Calvin Harris cut like literally 2 days later in London. And, you know, even though she'd been on the circuit for a while, that was the first time there was such a huge turnaround
right.
by like for like major artists.
And the song never came out because the album got...
Exactly.
Shelved. There's so many questions I have for you, because what happens to these songs that never get cut?
Because somebody else do them?
You can eventually get them back, because if the label buys them from the producer...
Yeah.
So as the songwriters, we don't own the master. We only own the publisher.
Sure.
Because we're not like working on the computer and
right.
that whole thing. So it's not our sounds that they're buying. It's just the song. So... in most producer deals to buy the master, it will have the right of first use.
Right.
So like once the song's released, anyone can do it. You
right.
can't, you don't need, they don't even have to ask us. They can, anyone can cover any song they want.
Yeah.
The only thing they can't do is like they have to ask the writers if an advertisement uses it or a movie
right.
uses it or something.
Right.
But to release
a sample,
the song,
right?
Yeah, or a sample, exactly. Yes. But to release the song, because the sample they're using the master still.
Exactly.
So right. But so basically like that song, we probably could go and get it back now because you know, in that specific situation, Reed is at a different label now, so there's no way it's ever going to come out. So, like, we could go and ask them, like, can we have the right of first use back?
I see.
Actually, I have a lot of great friends at Columbia, and they probably would do it.
But if somebody wanted to recut it, a song that's already been done and released, let's say it's released, and you just said anybody could do it. You're allowed to remake a song without asking permission?
Yeah, because
you may
own
not
the
be able to release
forever.
It, though. Because
you can release
it. Prince, you can't. Prince had to agree. He had something where.
Yeah, because getting the rights to some of these, like some of the songs I was talking about doing the Broadway album.
I knew that's where this was going. Yeah.
Well, because I'd never heard of. Like, I thought you had to get the rights to these songs.
Right, me too.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk more about this. We're going to take a real quick break, but we have so many questions. Because it's like voodoo, this whole songwriting.
I don't understand it at all.
So we're with Justin Trad. We're going to take a little quick break. Hey, let's talk about Boll & Branch sheets.
I love you, Boll & Branch.
I love them. You know, it's such a great thing. You spend so much time in bed. You want the best for yourself. Treat yourself to some Boll & Branch sheets. They're gorgeous.
They have sheets, they have blankets, and here's the thing. They're made from 100% pure cotton, which means they're super,
super soft.
And the more you wash them, they get softer over time.
I just love that. And listen, kids, there's no middleman, no department store markups.
Mm-mm.
You buy directly from them, so they're essentially paying wholesale prices.
Yep, and everyone who tries Boll & Branch sheets loves them. That's why they have thousands of five-star reviews, which matters for a lot of people. Like for me, when I buy something or I'm going to a place, I Yelp it right away to see what kind of reviews they have.
Yeah, see, I need to sit on them and feel them, and they feel great.
Well, you can try Boll & Branch for 30 nights. If you don't love them, which you will, you can send them back, but you're not going to want to send them back.
That's right. And there's no risk and no reason to not give them a try.
Yep.
All their products come beautifully packaged, and their signature boxes just make a really good gift.
And they're actually, you don't even have to wrap that box. You can give it to them in the box like that, but if you want to wrap the box, it's a super nice box. And now they're introducing the revolutionary new line of flannel sheets.
Oh, I love that.
Right. And all the millennials, all those kids love their flannel. So they can wear the flannel, they can sleep on their flannel sheets, and everybody's happy. But they're only available for a limited time.
Yeah, because, you know, during the colder months, it's just perfect for that.
Oh,
so thick and so beautiful.
Heavenly.
And, you know, tis the season.
This yes.
makes a great, great gift. A
so
thoughtful
good.
Gift, because, you know, everybody gives the same old things. This is a gift that you would actually use.
I agree. So to get started right now, check out BollandBranch.com and you can use the offer code RU for $50 off your first set of sheets. BollandBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets. That's Boll, not the way you think it is. It's BOLL and Branch.com. Promo code RU.
Break it down, Michelle.
BOLL.
We are back with Justin Tranter. Can you just, what are the biggest, and you rewrote Sorry for Justin Bieber. You wrote, co-wrote the whole album with Gwen Stefani.
Centuries, Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, Centuries, Fall Out Boy. What are the other big
Selena
hits?
Gomez, Good For You. Selena Gomez, Hands to Myself. DNCE, Cake by the Ocean.
Wow.
Those are the
Oh my God. And then you called me up to ask me to be a part of a song called Hands.
Yes.
Which is a charity song for the survivors of the horrible tragedy in Orlando.
Yes.
And how many people? You've got Britney on that song. You've got Gwen Stefani.
Pink.
You.
And
Rue. Imagine Dragons. Megan Trainor. Mary J. Blige.
Mary J. Blige.
Alternative Queen of Country, Kacey Musgraves.
Uh-huh.
MNEK, who's an amazing queer artist out of the UK. I mean, we did good.
It's such a great song, and it's funny hearing it in the studio for the first time. You go, this is a hit song.
Thank you.
This is a really good song.
Thank you.
Are you able to tell a really great song right after you write it?
You can tell when something's special. You definitely can. Whether you can, you don't know what's going to be a hit.
Right.
One, because like you know, timing wise, it might come out at the wrong time and people don't connect with it for whatever reason, or the label fucks it up, mm-hmm. or the label does a great job, but the artist refuses to fucking sing it on TV. You know, mm-hmm. there's so many mm-hmm. reasons to why a song can't be a hit, but you do feel when it's extra special. Mm-hmm. The only one I think that we didn't like know, like, oh fuck, was Sorry. Uh-huh. We just wrote, like, oh, this is nice, and like went to yeah. dinner. Like,
so when amazing. When the label comes to you and say, okay, this is what we're thinking with Justin Bieber. He's had a bad run of it with the press. We want to say, I'm sorry for my behavior.
That was our idea to say that, sorry.
Oh.
So this amazing girl, Chelsea Avery, who works for Scooter Braun, Bieber's manager, uh-huh. She is like the A&R within the management
yes.
company. Because mm-hmm. he's, you know, they're a very hands-on company. So mm-hmm. they like...
they don't leave it to the label.
Yeah.
They do it themselves.
Yeah, or a collaboration yeah. or whatever. So Chelsea came, like, you know, told us the vibe of the album, played us some other songs that was already on the album, mm-hmm. And was just like, here's 10 tracks that, like, I love and that, you know, Bieber's heard, he loves. Pick which ones you like and write to them. And so it was me and Julia's idea. Because I also, I am a big fan of like the art of pop culture mm-hmm. And the art of celebrity. And so like kind of like understanding like he's at a point in his career where if he apologized, the song would mean.
Yeah.
It would.
Right.
Luckily, the song ended up being a very great song. Mm-hmm. But that was a moment of timing as well, where it's a great song with manipulating the art of celebrity.
So you worked within the narrative of his career.
Yeah. And just also, so then also making sure that we wanted to feel that everyone could relate to it too, because most people aren't celebrities who need to apologize. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we made it focused at the details of it as a love song.
Yeah.
So that way people could relate to it. So that one was a very much like, let's try to do this.
Now, how much of the songwriting has to do with the psychology of how, not only the narrative of who's going to sing it, but, What the subtext is to and sort of hidden meanings.
Yeah.
You know? Because, you know, Salt and Pepper's Push It. It's not really about pushing something.
It isn't?
No.
Weird.
Oh my God.
It's about
shocking.
You know what a kitty cat, you know what they call a kitty cat?
Are you telling me that song's about sex?
It's songs about something between me down there.
Are you telling me that song has to do with vagina?
Yes, it does.
Not vagina.
I'm mortified.
Does. And they're Christians. They're Christians.
No, yeah, they're that's a different kind of Christian.
Yeah, honey, push it real good.
Yeah.
Yes. So
I thought that had to do with shopping carts. I had yeah. no idea.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah. But see, that's the thing, is that left up to the interpretation
yes.
of the listener.
Yeah.
How much of that do you work into it? I mean, do you sit with Julie and go, guess what, girl? What if we said this?
I mean, sometimes it you do think about it. Like, well, sorry, we do think about it. But then sometimes it just starts happening. The idea comes. Somebody starts singing a melody to whatever the producer's playing. And the lyric makes sense in the melody. And it's just a spark and it goes. Like, you never... Sometimes you are really like, okay, then this and then this. And then sometimes uh-huh. you aren't. Like, Cake by the Ocean started just as a joke.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, actually, that's a really funny thing to say. Like, I keep on hoping we eat cake by the ocean. And then it's like, well, let's decide what it means. And obviously, it just means, like, sex. You know,
yeah.
like, let's, like,
yeah,
have sex on the beach, hopefully.
With frosting.
Yeah, with frosting. And so then it was like, okay, let's just build this goofy, you know, that song's not rocket science, but, like, it's, you know, perfect pop of, like, let's build this goofy thing around this one phrase that's really going to strike people.
Yeah.
So then, like... Then we did think about it, but only after this ridiculous thing that somebody said becomes a song. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
every time it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so amazing. You know, it's, Michelle, when you wrote on that, the Bill Withers song for the Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Right. So did you write that all yourself? Or did you
I
have,
had a writing,
are you a Melania Trump and you had?
I had a writing partner
uh-huh.
and me and Tommy, we wrote it together.
Tommy Mottola.
No, not Tommy Mottola. Tommy, my ex-boyfriend, who was in a rap group called Young Black Teenagers that was started
oh,
by
right.
Chuck D.
That's
yeah.
a great group.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So he was my boyfriend at the time. We ended up just being friends. We'd been on and off for years, but he's a really great rapper. So when it came down to writing the rap for that, he had credibility and I wanted him to help me as well
yeah.
because it was a, you know, kind of a slow rap. It was, mm-hmm. and it was different than anything that I'd used to be rapping.
Yeah,
you know, and he helped me write it, so it was just him and I. But then, of course, you had all the Bill Withers camp, Skip Scarborough, that right. whole camp had
Genius.
To be paid.
Right, yeah. of course.
Because the chorus was lovely day,
yeah.
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wrote the rap with Tommy, just us two.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And so, but then, now with your deal, did Clavillis and Cole get a part of the publishing
of course.
Also?
You think they wouldn't?
Okay.
Why? No clue. Uh-huh. Yes, they did, because it was a production deal. That's why.
Right.
Right.
That's
it happens, though. I'm starting to sign artists, and like you...
You have your own label now.
Yeah, well, an imprint. You know, it's not a fully functioning label, but right. a production company, I guess.
As opposed to a fully functioning vagina.
Right.
Right,
yeah.
exactly, which
Penis.
I don't have yet. I'm thinking like when I'm 70, just to transition just
I think
for
you
kicks.
Should. We can go to Tijuana.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hopefully I'll have that good money, girl. We don't have to go to Tijuana.
Yeah, right, right.
We'll go to Ixtapa.
Right. Sure. So your imprint, and it's an imprint with Interscope, I'm assuming.
No, we haven't picked a label partner yet. So right now it's just, I have this amazing black trans artist named Shea Diamond, who's an unbelievable singer-songwriter, speaks about all the truths that you would ever want to hear. It's sort of wow. like alternative soul music.
I love that.
She spent 10 years in prison.
What?
It's
For
crazy.
Fun?
Yes, queen. Yes, for funsies. Yeah, no, she was incarcerated in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, that's
horrible
that's
water on
double,
top of
yes,
it.
Yes, and doubly bad.
Even crazier, that like she has the sweetest heart you could ever
I can't wait to hear
imagine.
That.
So the music's amazing. So we're actually going to put out the first single just on our own sometime very soon. And then there's a disco group called Plasty. Speaking
Ooh,
of surgery,
love it.
Yes,
and it's just like. Full disco realness because uh-huh. it's like I met this girl who just has this voice from God, but like big singing and like big R&B singing it's not in right now.
Right.
And so when the big R&B singers, even just the big pop singers, when they were put on current pop records, it just seems like, why are you screaming over this Katy Perry track? You know,
right,
it's a little
right.
weird. So it's like, how do I make, and she's flawless too. Mm-hmm. Like she's giving you face, body, and voice. And so I'm like, how do I, you can't just let this girl go to waste because her voice isn't in style right now.
Right,
right.
So I was like, disco, because then it'll feel on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, and disco was such great party music.
We
but
love
full
disco,
musicianship.
Honey.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like you had orchestras on that shit. You had
yes.
full musicianship. And she's a real musician. She plays guitar. So her name's Chloe, and she's the star of this band called Plasty. So those
but,
are my two main things.
But now,
right
when you, as a, now it's a different role when you're being the head of a label
yeah.
because you think about who then is the market for this.
Yeah.
Because you think about the consumer today who's I've heard years ago that the consumer for records is 11 years old to 25
mm-hmm.
and that's it
mm-hmm.
when if you really want to make money
yeah.
so how do you make disco interesting to an 11 year old?
Well, like look at, you know, Uptown Funk
mm-hmm.
or look at, you know,
but he's sexy. They sold that. I mean, yes,
yeah.
it's a great song.
Yeah.
But Bruno Mars is sexy.
Yeah. Well, he's just amazing talent.
And yes.
So
but the 11 years don't care about talent.
No.
Well,
they,
no,
want,
they
care about
they
sex
cute.
And
yeah.
cute.
Yeah. So that's, she's very sexy. And also, too, you know, both acts, I know that I'm working on now, I know that at the very least they can work in the queer community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for
well,
me, it's like, you know, I'm not looking in terms of my label situation. Of course, it'd be amazing if one of them becomes the biggest stars in the world, and I'm going to try.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about knowing that now that I'm in this place of privilege, which as a queer person I take very seriously because
mm-hmm.
we have so many queer brothers and sisters who have no privilege
right.
and have no opportunities. You know, my parents never had money, but they did everything they possibly could to make it happen for me. So when you have two straight white people fighting for you every step of the way, you know, it took me 36 years to make my career pop off, but I still was able to do it. So
mm-hmm.
I take that privilege very seriously. And so I want to, you know, the...
Well, bravo for that.
Yeah, and Shea Diamond, we will be the first release on my label. And I want to do that. I want a black trans woman who spent 10 years incarcerated to get an opportunity because she fucking deserves it.
Shea Diamond.
Yes, honey.
Shea Diamond.
Down.
Wait till you hear the voice. I mean, we're talking like we're giving you Nina Simone, Tina
Ooh.
Turner. It's out of here.
Oh my God. Justin Trant. What's the name of the label?
It's called Facet Records.
Facet Records.
Because a diamond is just a stone until you cut it.
It's true. And we will cut a bitch.
I love it. Well, it's been so great talking to
Thank
you.
Thank you
I could
for
talk
having
a,
me.
I could talk about this
so
stuff forever.
Yeah.
It is really interesting because it's the inside world of the recording industry, but not only recording industry, songwriting, and just the whole pop zeitgeist.
Yeah.
You know, there's so, it's ever changing,
yeah.
you know, so.
Well, it's an honor for me to be here too, because to talk to you and be interviewed by you, because VH1 show
raised
my ass. I will never forget. Like, well, obviously, when your single came out, my mind exploded. At like, what year was Supermodel?
I think Eisenhower was in office.
Mamie,
and I co-wrote that song.
Yes.
Mamie Eisenhower and I.
So 92, yes. I was 12 years old. I mean, it.
Me too.
It changed my life. And then the VH1 show was just so mind-blowing to see such a proud queer person in full paint, Tanny, you know,
and then,
on
but
TV.
That was, that's Michelle, but what did you think about me?
True story.
You were all right. Yeah. You know, I was like, can they just get rid of this bitch?
We love doing that show. In fact, talk about trying to do a talk show. I mean, that's one of the great things about doing this podcast is that we get to sort of, you know, exercise.
Get that wheel turning.
So when it starts running, we're ready to roll.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, you guys served on that. I mean, I'll never forget it. And I remember those things too. Like, my mom would even remind me, or my dad, either one, like, you know, like, oh, you know, like, the Ruth show is going to be on and whatever. And I would still... like, even with the most supportive family ever, I'd still almost, because I wasn't out yet. I was 12. I came out at 14, so I had to wait 2 years. But, like, you still have that shame of, like...
Yeah.
Like, okay, I don't want to watch it in front of you.
Like, are they going to... Do they know why I'm watching this?
Yeah. Right.
Do they know? Yeah. And of course they knew.
No, but, you know, I mean, that shame is ingrained in our culture. It's not just... But,
and
you
they
know,
didn't shame you. They
No, it's just part of... Correct. You know, if we live in this masculine-dominated culture, and it's just
Tell
part of it. But
yeah.
I'm glad we got you... I'm glad we got to have some small part in your evolution as
a big so proud of you.
Thank you.
It's so Wonderful. Great. I'm
thank
so proud
you.
Of you. And thank you for doing our show. We're
going to
look
anytime.
For all of that stuff. She a diamond.
I'm waiting for She a Diamond.
She a
and Plasti.
Diamond. Yeah. Yes, yeah. And Plasti. It's all fabulous. Justin Tranter. Tranter.
Yes, Tran.
Tranter.
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 She's Tranter.
Yes.
All right. Well, until next time, guys. Thank
you
so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen? And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.